Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Bunny McMillan the third.
That is I. I mean, I'm not going to dispute it.
McMillan?
No. This is George Santos. And have I've you, never done drag.
Have you ever done My23andMe or whatever, or any of those DNA things? Or you don't trust the government like that?
Oh, is it the government that does
that? Well, not the government. Whatever research companies are going to use it to, I don't know, make clones of us in the future or whatever.
Honey, look at me. You know exactly where my people are from. They're from Europe.
The Quaker
Northern
Oats.
Europe. They're from. You know, I don't need to find out that I've got, you know, 1%, you know, something other than mutt from Northern Europe mixed up Irish.
Yeah, I think if they do your My23andMe, we might find a little canine DNA in there. It'll be very confusing.
Ruff.
Oh, God bless you.
I resemble that remark. No, but I've never done that. I guess we did the old school version and went to some town called Bingen on Rhine, where my family came from. But they didn't have that DNA stuff when I was a kid.
Oh yeah, it's new. I mean, it was popular for a while in like the mid 2010s, and then it kind of phased. I'm sure it probably still is popular, but I don't hear about it as much. Like everyone was talking about My23andMe, and then they would come to you and be like, "Oh girl, look, I'm 2% Sub-Saharan African." I'm like, "Sit your white ass down, please."
Right. Well, I mean, I'm sure that the interesting thing about it is that there's probably a wild card in everyone's
For sure.
background that they're like, I had no idea I was Jewish, or I had no part Jewish. I have no idea I was part, you know, Latino or Asian or whatever. So, you know, I mean, there's a lot of mutts.
Bitch, I did mine. It just said slave. I said, got it. I got it. I know I am.
Okay. Okay. I've never. Aren't slaves normally hardworking? I mean, I know that's not the right question to ask on Black History Month, but.
How did you celebrate Black History Month, Lady Bunny? Did you give your back to the community?
Oh. No, I did not.
Thank God.
Well, how did I celebrate it? I mean, I'm would like to think of myself as a booster of Black people and Black culture and Black.
Oh yeah, you be boosting it, right? You be boosting it. You be stealing that shit.
Well, they taught me, and I will always be grateful.
Well, not that you asked, but this past week was my birthday,
oh.
And it was very amazing.
But which mean, what did you do?
So my boyfriend planned a little birthday weekend for me on Friday. We took a cooking class together where we made some pasta in Culver City and here in L.A. And then Saturday morning, we did some activities. And then we had a salsa dancing class. And Sunday, we went paintballing. I've never been paintballing before, and it was a lot of fun. He had organized like 12 of my friends, and we went like shooting each other. So on my birthday, a bunch of white people shot at me. Man.
Happy Black History Month.
Happy Black History Month. Happy birthday, everything.
I find that all hard to believe, Monet.
Why?
That you're still with your boyfriend, because you are unbearable just on this podcast on Opposite Coast. but what is paintballing? You throw wads of paint at people.
Well, you have, like, guns. You have, like, assault rifle-style guns. But they're not, obviously, not real bullets, unfortunately. And you have these, like, little paint pellets. And then you shoot each other. There's, like, an obstacle course. And you divide into two teams. And then you are, like, hiding behind things trying to shoot each other with paintball.
And it's a paint that comes off easily?
Yes, it does come off. Yeah, it does come off easily. I mean, you have, like, protective headgear and, like, a vest and stuff because the gun does throw them out really hard, and so if it does hit your skin, you will like get a bruise and possibly bleed. So you have to wear like layers so it doesn't hurt you too bad. Yeah,
that's well, it's the way that I already do my makeup.
Oh,
I go play paintball, and I remove the goggles and all of it. Yeah, it works for me very well.
Yeah, you're beautiful. It was very fun.
So may I ask, does that make you 31?
I am currently 33 years old. Oh, it's 33. My Jesus year. Yeah, I'm just like Jesus.
Your Jesus year. Well, you know what? You sound like a cheap date. Pasta and paintball. That's
made pasta. I had to make my own pasta.
If you love it, if you enjoyed it, that doesn't make any difference what anybody else thinks of it. But
oh yeah, for sure.
I had fun. Happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you.
And you're off to Australia tomorrow?
I'm off to Australia tonight. My flight leaves at 10:35 tonight. I'm going to be there for World Pride. I'll be performing in Melbourne on the 23rd and then in Sydney on the 24th. Now, I found out that Kylie is there for World Pride as well, so I want to make sure I go see Kylie. But Kylie's before my show. So my plan is to get up and drag early, go to see Kylie and drag, go do my gig, and then take a few mollies and roll for the rest of the night.
Well, honey, you're 31, but I'm going to tell you something.
What?
I used to think, oh, I'll double book it. And, you know, I'll just do that. When I was younger, it was possible. But, honey, now I realize that just fucks up both gigs because you have to leave the first one early. Then you have to be late for the second one. And for me, it just throws a monkey wrench. So now I used to hit 5 clubs in one night. Now I'm just like, okay, do the one that's paying you.
The only reason I'm like it'll be fine is that the people who are putting on the gig that I'm doing, they're putting Kylie's event together, so they're like, oh yeah, we'll get you to see Kylie, then bring you over to do the other thing. So it's all in their hands.
Oh, okay, well that's good. I had no idea you were such a big fan of Sonique. Oh, you mean Kylie Jenner?
Yeah, she's performing this year at World Pride.
Oh, okay. With Ashley Simpson.
Her famous lip pumping sinking number. It's really cool, actually, to see live.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that sounds like fun. That's a brutal flight. Is it? How long is it from LA?
16 hours.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a 16-hour flight. But you know, she'll be lounging in business class. You know, so I don't have to be like you. I know you fly in what? In the storage?
In the boot. Yeah. No, K9. I'm only going to Birmingham this Saturday to perform at a comedy club called Saturn.
Birmingham, Alabama, or Birmingham, UK?
Putting the ham back in Birmingham, Alabama.
Oh, got it. Okay.
So maybe if they still allow drag shows down there.
Or K9s.
Yeah, canines, but we're trying to get Nita West on to talk about Drag Queen Story Hours because there's all that stuff going on. At any rate, I had fun this weekend DJing at Come On Everybody in Brooklyn, my second time.
Well, how
such
was it?
A fun gig. It was packed. There was one nut that had a blow dryer as a purse, like a pink blow dryer. a purse. And it's interesting because I always think of Brooklyn as like the younger crowd. Well, yeah, compared to me. But, you know, the millennials started moving out there, you know, 10, 15 years ago. They're now 45.
Yeah, I know, right? It's the, yeah.
So,
you posted a picture of somebody with an iPhone asking, requesting Bad Bunny. Was that real or is that a picture you found?
It was real, but he was tipsy and very funny. And he was acting like he was crying if I would not play Bad Bunny. But it's a disco night. But I get it. You know, brats want to hear their jams on a Saturday night. But I'm only DJing from 5 to 10, so they can hear. They can hear their real jams all night long. But he was very, very funny about it. Okay. But, and now two people who read that post were holding up their phones that said Bad Bunny. I said, honey, I'm not Bad Bunny. I'm the worst bunny of all. But I would suck Bad Bunny in a heartbeat. If he loves the gay community so much, he's going to kiss one of his dancers. Throw me some damn pinga, puppy.
Oh, Do you think he has a big pinga?
Something I haven't seen. I think. Oh. Well, I mean, I think it's all a guess. But it looks like it might be.
Yeah,
when I jack off over him three times a day, it is.
I'm normally a good discerner of pinga, and I'd imagine it's average and nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he's cute. He's sexy. I don't care for his music, but he's sexy.
Yeah, I'm not really a big Bad Bunny fan in terms of the music, but he is a very pretty man.
When he starts singing, it's just like you don't even want to try. It's like the Drake of reggaeton.
Yeah, he sings like Drake does, not like melodic kind of talking.
It's like I'm such a man that I don't want to even be bothered to sing out Louise. Like you know, I grew up listening to Luther Vandross. Sorry, there's a substandard set.
Never too much.
I played there for you.
Did you really?
In Brooklyn, and they loved it. They didn't clear the floor.
Yeah, because I know when you play Trixie's music.
Yes.
When you play Trixie's music, they leave.
That's going to be for Hillbilly Heritage Month.
Hillbilly Heritage Month. You know, Trixie is Native American.
I know.
Allegedly.
Yeah.
But at any rate, anything fun you have coming up?
I'm trying to go see Jinx in Chicago. I've never seen Chicago.
Oh, I've never seen it either. Listen, I'm gonna be in New York on the 1st. You want to go?
Sure. She's in it until March 12th. But I hear that she is. The ticket prices have been booming since she joined it, and there's been, you know, she's really great in it. Apparently,
the ticket. Wait, so the tickets are more expensive now?
No, I didn't say that. I just said that
the
ticket sales have been up, and she's been getting, you know, big standing ovations. Now, she is the first drag queen to play Mama Morton, but someone educated me today.
Varla Jean.
Varla Jean Merman was
Mary Sunshine.
Mary Sunshine.
Yeah.
In the revival, in the 90s revival of Chicago on Broadway. But there was actually one other guy named David who played it before that. And when Varla played it, she was billed as her male name, Jay Roberson, so she didn't, they didn't want to spoil the surprise because Varla was living in New York then, in a known New York queen.
I heard Varla is hot. Out of drag.
Well, she's turned into a bodybuilder over the last 10 years and doing CrossFit. And, you know, she works it into the act.
What's her name out of drag? What's her name?
Jeffrey Roberson.
That sounds like a black ass name. Jeffrey Roberson.
Well, maybe she should do a DNA test.
Right. Did I?
Well, Jay, it's almost as if Monet is a whore who can barely focus. Even if she got a boyfriend, she's trying to look at hot guys who are drag queens on the damn internet.
Well, I can't find it, but anyway, I'll find it later on. I'll find Vala Jean Merman out of drag, and because she Brawla is a redhead, right?
Yes.
Well, I mean, like Jeffrey's a redhead is meant to say.
I can't really tell. Yeah, I don't think so. But like, it's like nondescript brown. I mean, not quite brown, not quite. Maybe it is red. She's got her hair's buzzed off. I can't really tell.
Okay. Do you know who's making a comeback? One of your old sisters from back in the day.
Who?
Who was a drag queen of New York City? Dallas Dubois is back, girl.
I heard that from Tina Burner.
Yeah, Dallas Dubois is back, honey.
Well, Dallas Dubois, I haven't seen her yet, but she was very beautiful. She had a Morgan Fairchild thing going on.
Yeah. Oh, Jay just sent me pictures of Varla. Oh, my God. Varla is hot. Whoa. And she can sing?
She can sing. She's also very, very funny, and she can act. And, you know, her act is quite original. She's a huge hit in Provincetown. She's been going there for 15 years and cleaning up.
Wow. Okay, Varla Jean Jeffrey Robeson Brock.
She's also from a New Orleans.
Oh, really? Like, so Bianca. She country. Yeah, Bianca is more like the Omen, though. She was, like, you know, born in a shallow grave with from like a primordial ooze. I don't think of Bianca as being born or from this. She just arose, like how her present form, you know?
The faster she can head back to that grave, the happier I am.
Well, I think we should get into the headlines, Lady Bunny, shall we?
Sure. Headliners. There's drama in the drag world between Anitra, Drag Race season, is it 15?
Yeah, this current season,
contestant,
yeah.
And Aja, contestant, what was the season she was on?
Aja was on season 9, and then All Stars 3 as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I guess Aja has been tweeting about Drag Race performances and took issue with Anitra saying that Anitra's kind of made duck walking her thing. Like that, there was an obvious attempt to, you know, I mean, obviously in her first talent number, she duck walked and duck walked very well from what I can tell. I'm no expert. I can barely walk. I mean, look, the duck walk did come from the voguing community, and
yes.
I guess Aja, who is now very immersed in the voguing community in New York, and, you know, competing in balls and has been for a couple years, you know, also as she has transitioned, she sounded off and said, you know, you need to pay some respect to the ballroom community before you just come out there with, you know, what she perceives to be somebody else's art form.
Here's what she said. She said this. Just so we're clear, my narrative of her was never that she was appropriate. I think she was meant to say she's appropriating, but she said she was inappropriate, or it was just that it wasn't being done correctly. I reached out to have a friendly convo before I even said anything that critical and was ignored. So now I had to do a personal problem. I actually do live for her. I think she's performing very well on the show, and I think that she's been a really good performer. Unfortunately, I don't like the Vogue, but as a complete package, I think she's great. I have been critiqued before by alumni RuPaul Drag Race and did not bitch about it because it's not that fucking serious. And for people to think that I am so caught up on a television show that I did twice, and if I really wanted to be on again, I could be as wild. People have a mob mentality. Unfortunately, everyone is going to think differently. And when I reached out for a friendly conversation, just trying to figure out some stuff, getting to know the girl, and she ignored me the way she did, I took it as a slap in the face because you told me that she did not give a fuck about learning my culture. Okay, And she goes on. This is like long, on and on and on and on. A few things. When the first week that Aja had Anitra did the talent show and she did the duck walking thing, Leomi Maldonado, who is legendary in ballroom, and Aja were both people who like sounded off about how terrible Anitra's performance was in the show, right? And then so Aja probably reached out after that. But if I was a girl on Drag Race and after you read me on Twitter, then you come in my DMs and talk to me, no, bitch, fuck you. I'm not responding to what you have to say. My second point, Anitra does not owe it to Aja to have this conversation. She does not have to go. People are saying, Aja's like, oh, she's like, now she's going around profiting on my culture. This girl is going to drag clubs around America and doing a number and putting a duck walk before every performance or afterwards. She does not need to go online and saying, just so y'all know, the move that I did at minute 42 seconds, between 42 seconds and 1 minute and 10 seconds, that was called a duck walk. And it's from ballroom. She does not owe ballroom or Aja to do that. The bitch is just fucking dancing. When bitches come out here and they foxtrot and they tango, they're not saying, and just so you know, Fred Astaire, thank you so much for making the foxtrot a thing. Like, you know, like, she does not owe that to Aja.
Okay, but here's where I think it's different from Fred Astaire. Mm-hmm. Voguing are very, first of all, you know, I'm not politically correct, and you know that I, you know, we've talked about Bruno Mars, whether mm-hmm. that's cultural appropriation or whatnot, and it's going to be a different line, you know, for everybody with these cultural things.
Culture wars.
I have always tried to be very respectful of ballroom, even though I'm not respectful of everyone. And, mm-hmm. and we'll say, you know, mean or crazy or whatever, ridiculous things, you know. But the ballroom special, the ballroom culture is so special because it comes from a place, unlike Fred Astaire, of the streets, of outcasts from the gay and community of color who feel the need, because they are shunned sometimes by their own families at school, or if they're trans, unable to get work, you know, in the past, you know, that didn't involve, you know, sex work or stuff like that. So that was their moment to show out in their community and you know, and experience their own joy of their own scene with its moves like the duck walks, with its moves like the death drop, with its moves, you know. So it is unique to that community. And I mean, you got to admit, Drag Race has borrowed heavily on catchphrases, you know.
Oh, for sure.
You know, from Paris is Burning, you know, and so, you know, this isn't just Aja speaking out about it. I mean, look, so let me put it this way. How would you feel if you were in an underground scene that was, you know, you paid your dues in that scene? You know, you went to the balls. You didn't go on to TV and, you know, on to you tour around the world with somebody else's moves. I mean, you know, if I could ever do, you know, Kennedy Davenport's, you know, incredible dance moves, mm-hmm. And people could recognize them as such, well, then yes, I would be biting off, you know, her style. And many times I've watched Drag Race and I was like, oh girl, come on, you are not coming out voguing to this Britney song. It just shows that you don't have any clue about, you know, the real music of ballroom culture. And
sure, but we've had, and I've had these conversations about on my Talk to Exchange, right, on Sibling Arrival, the podcast talks about that, right? But there is one thing, like when you have people like Aja reading this girl online, or someone like, you know, Love Her to Death, Naomi is fucking fierce. She's legendary in ballroom. She's fucking put ballroom on the map. When you have these people who have status and who are icons and who are legend in the community, seeing you duck walking on TV and saying how disgusting and what it was, bad, it was crunchy. What happened was, she did this. Anitra and Sasha were dancing, and then Aja tweeted, that dip was crusty as fuck, but Sasha bitchy ending. And then Shay commented, girl, leave Anitra alone, because this is like a week to week basis. Anything she references, the walk that fucking duck, whatever, Aja is critical of it. And for whatever reason, again, Aja is part of ballroom community and she has every right to do so. But when stuff like ballroom has become mainstream, you're going to see more people doing it, right? The more and more mainstream the art form gets, the more people are going to see it on TV, see it on TikTok, see it on Instagram, and try to replicate the moves and try to do them themselves. And that is going to happen with it being mainstream. You have to have a little bit of grace and not attack people and say, no, that shit was ugly. That was basic. Don't ever try to fucking do that again. Because having conversations with younger people in ballroom, like the house of Juicy Couture, who toured with me and Bob, we had this conversation with them. They're like, no, bitch, we live when we see people do it on Drag Race. We live when we see people do it. Like, they are really into... And this is my conversation with them and the other friends who will come to all the shows. They love seeing people doing it. They love seeing ballroom, more people doing it. Like, to them, that is exciting. To them, that is their art form that they do in the clubs or at balls, whatever. They love seeing their art out in this world and people trying and doing it. So Aja's critique of it, that is one side of it. But there's a whole other side of the younger generation of ballroom people who really love it and they are excited by it and they want to see more people doing it.
So do you think that Laomi are you calling her old? No. Do you think that Laomi is just a little bit more old school and doesn't see it that way? Because here is she said, I quote, I really, and Laomi is fucking brilliant.
Oh,
I really
amazing.
Wish, I've sat and just taken videos of her, you know, just ridiculous. I really wish those contestants would stop making a mockery out of ballroom by continuously noging, quote, for their lives. Noging is a term used to describe people who attempt to vogue without doing it.
Coined by Laomi.
Correctly. And so, you know, she also said, imagine being a delusional individual who thinks me pointing out noging is hating, wasting time, leaving comments, my tweets as if it's going to take away from the noging. So, you know, I don't know the difference. Then she tweeted something about the difference between Virgin Vogue and noging. But when you say that because of Laomi, they put... ballroom culture on the map, it's because you got to go back a little bit further and say, what does on the map mean? Does it mean on TV? Is it really? Because even with the judges on Legendary that Laomi was on, you know, they were like, why did you get this? Was it Jameel?
Jameel.
Yeah, she has nothing to do with ballroom
culture. Well, I think she was a producer who was, I think she liked ballroom. And from my understanding it is, and I may be completely wrong, this is what I read on the internet or what I've heard, is that she had some interactions with ballroom or whatever, and she was like instrumental in getting Legendary to be made, like getting Legendary to be picked up at the show. I don't know how, but she was like, that's why she stayed on as, because the first season she was like the head judge of it, right? Allegedly, she was like one of the main reasons why the show even became a show.
Yeah, I don't remember the fallout, but I remember that the ballroom community was saying, why wouldn't you get one of us? Because the implication is so she's got money, or so she produced it, she gave a platform to the voguers, but the ones that didn't get the platform, that had been doing it and paying the dues and being at the actual balls, I don't think that it... I mean, they didn't copyright voguing, but those moves are very, very particular. And, you know, I do a Madonna parody of Vogue, and I move my arms in a way I never once thought I was a voguer, or that anyone was going to take me seriously, or that I would enter a conversation.
Well, no one takes you seriously regardless, but that's neither here nor there.
Well, I tell you, I did have a lot of fun when Legendary Voguer and from Paris is Burning, Willie Ninja, would see each other out in the clubs, and we had traveled together to Tokyo and other places, and, you know, loved each other to death. But every time I saw him, I would be on the dance floor, I would be like, it's on, as if I was gonna beat him in any way. And I mean, he was such a good sport about it. He just, you know, knew I was being crazy and laughed as he demolished me. But I just think that with any underground scene, it changes when somebody can just go and do that. that number, you know, on a big, big platform. For example, that Ella Fitzgerald, you know, lip sync number that was the scat thing. I mean, do the drag queens that have, that the first ones that started doing that number, you know, did they, do they deserve any credit? No, you're not going to go and thank them every time you do that number, but you know, it's when you put something on a big platform, you leave the some of the people who created it in the dust. And if the people who created it don't even think that you're doing that great of a job, Aja is not one who created it. She is someone who's in that community now. But yeah. And Laomi is not one of the ones that created it.
She is one of the people who put voguing like in the mainstream. Who is, I think, Laomi, in my opinion, Laomi is single-handedly in charge, responsible for a lot of the current notoriety of Vogue and Ballroom.
I would agree with that, but she's not one of the... I mean, Voguing's been around since before Paris is Burning, which put it on a cultural thing. But, I mean, if the people... You know, they've had this debate about Madonna, too. Some people from the Ballroom community loved that Madonna used Jose and Louis, two extravaganza house members, and others, you know, thought it she watered it down and took it. You know, some New York producer even claiming that he was preparing to do a Vogue song, and it was kind of scooped by Madonna. That's all hearsay. So, you know, I don't, but he was working with the vocalist from who emceed the houses in that very, very distinctive style. So, I don't know. I have so much respect for the Voguing community that I can't analyze what Anitra did. And in fact, I didn't even see you know, what she did, but I'm seeing, you know, like when you see someone who is not part of that struggle, who doesn't need to engage in challenges, you know, with mostly people of color who say, you know, okay, this challenge is to look like, now I'm appropriating drag race language, this category is to, I'm a rich white woman. You never have to work. Well, you see, for some, because, you know, this was a community that was a community of color and a gay community, and sometimes it's even harder to be a gay person in a community of color. This was where they could do their thing and shine and act like they're a completely passable woman, because in their world, that might mean that you don't have any issues or that you can sell pussy or, you know, whatever, just in the same way that the guys can come on and act like they're attending, you know, Oxford University, because the truth is most of them in the ballroom community are not attending Oxford University. And so one thing that I've noticed over the years, that as the voguing scene has become more mainstream, honey, the voguing scene used to be scandalous. And you know over the years they did the latex ball, which was the actual, you know, ballroom community in partnership with GMHC to have a positive message about, you know, condoms and AIDS and, you know, all that. And that's great. But the original ballroom, to my knowledge, was quite a bit more cutthroat.
Yeah, for sure.
And not anything that is going to be celebrated on TV. So maybe the moves are the same, but, you know, as Jay likes to say, there is a lot of context in there.
There is. But I will say, I mean, it's not an exact parallel or the same thing, because I think drag is way different. But you can make the argument, that argument against about drag, right? Like all these older queens who came way before RuPaul, who were the pioneers of drag and who were doing it when it could literally mean death or jail. Now RuPaul put it on TV and everyone looks at RuPaul as a mother of drag. Well, you can make the old guards of drag. I can make that argument with RuPaul, but at this point, there are so many people doing drag, and the more and more the drag is commercialized, the more people are going to have access to it and think that they can do it and will try and do it. So you cannot guard. I mean, again, you can, but to me, it doesn't allow the thing to grow and bloom and more people wanting to do it, which I think is what I'm seeing with the Anitra Aja thing.
Yeah. Well, another aspect of this is that a lot of these Drag Race viewers are so young that they're in love with whoever is on the show of the moment. They may not have even been watching Drag Race when Aja was on, you know, several seasons ago. So they love their favorite. And anyone who says anything about something that isn't, you know, their favorite is going to be trashed and is going to be criticized. And, you know, it seems to me that Aja has done a lot of different things, you know, rap and, that you know, transitioning and really posting a lot of videos of herself to be a part of the ballroom community. So, you know, does she have a right to... Well, let me ask you this. Was the dip crusty? I didn't see it.
I mean, in my opinion, I mean, was it the best... Was it the best dip I've ever seen? No, but I thought it was fine. Like, I mean, definitely a better dip than I can do. I'll tell you that much, you know? Right. So.
Well, I will say that Anitra modeled for Abraham Levy, who used to be Abraham Extravaganza. So he was not he makes a lot of the costumes for, you know, people in the ballroom scene, people in the drag race scene, drag queens in New York. He has a very specialized kind of high-tech mylar lace-up corsets and lots of shoulder pad emphasis. So he couldn't have been mad at Anitra.
Yeah, I love Abraham, and I'm so excited for him. I'm so happy that he got to debut at New York Fashion Week, and it looked amazing. Were you there? Did you go?
Well, unlike Anitra, his old friend Bunny didn't get an invite. Do you think that's because he has something against plus size models?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, good for him. See. Do you think that maybe Abraham could make something for your old friend, Don Lemon?
who has been fired from CNN and is now looking at a drag career. Move over, George Santos.
I know. Well, Don Lemon. So, I mean, I was just told about this story with Lady Bunny today, and I didn't realize it was such a... I don't know everything that's always going on, but I'm pretty, like, you know, with it on news stories. And apparently Don Lemon, when he went on to criticize Nikki Haley for her comments for her comments for the competency of politicians over the age of 75 years old, he had something to say about Haley not being in her prime, and I'm going to play it so we can we get the full context, and y'all can't say we didn't give you the exact.
Well, and before you play it, Nikki said this because she announced her run as a GOP presidential contender. That's a new one that has gender and so this was a way for Nikki to hit out at Trump and Biden to say if they may not be mentally competent and they should undergo tests. So,
which I think is fair. First of all, I think anyone running to literally lead one of the biggest countries in the world, one of the most powerful countries in the world, you should take a motherfucking test to make sure that you're good, that you're Gucci. I don't think that's crazy.
Don't they do
a health test, but I don't think you do like a mental evaluation, which I think you need to have that.
Well, honey, what do I know? I was rooting for Bernie Sanders in 2020 when he had a heart attack on the campaign trail. So, you know, now we've got the oldest president in history at 80. Trump's right behind him at 76.
You know? I can't. Let me play the clip. Hold on. Here you go.
This whole talk about age makes me uncomfortable. I think it's the wrong road to go down. She says people, you know, politicians or something are not in their prime. Nikki Haley isn't in her prime. Sorry. When a woman is considered to be in her prime in her 20s and 30s and maybe 40s.
What are you talking?
That's not according to me.
Prime for what?
It depends. I mean, it's just like prime. If you look it up, it'll say, if you Google when is a woman in her prime, it'll say 20s, 30s, and 40s. I don't necessarily.
40s. Oh, I got another.
I'm not saying
decade.
I agree with that. So I think she has to be careful about saying that. Well, you know, politicians aren't in their prime.
You need to qualify. Are you talking about prime for like childbearing, or are you talking about prime for being president?
What the facts are. Google it. Everybody at home. When is a woman in her prime? It says 20s, 30s, and 40s. And I'm just saying Nikki Haley should be careful about saying that politicians are not in their prime, and they need to be in their prime when they serve, because she wouldn't be in her prime according to
Google
or whatever it is.
So I think I see what he's saying, right? So he's not, Dunham is not saying, this is my point of view. He's saying if Nikki Haley, like, she should be careful about saying politicians are not in their prime, because according to the internet, Ask Jeeves, Bing, Google, Siri, Alexa, they said woman's prime is in her 20s and 30s, maybe their 40s. So I don't think he's saying that that was expressly his view, but that is what it is being shaped as, that Don Lemon thinks women who are owning their prime in their 20s, 30s, and 40s. Which I don't think is true.
Yes, and this is from, I don't remember if it's the New York Post or Fox, but this says he refused to back down after Miss Harlow questioned his remarks, telling her to look it up. Miss Harlow appeared stone-faced during that exchange. When the show broke for a commercial, she stood up and walked off the set, according to three people with knowledge of the events. Miss Collins, the other co-host, followed her into the women's bathroom to check on her. When the show resumed, Miss Harlow sat out the next segment, you know, before returning for the remainder of the program. I'm like, will you give me a break? She was laughing on the show. She may not like to hear that on every level, and it could be construed as, you know, sexist to say that a woman's prime matches up with her reproductive years. But they were joking, and then at the very end of the broadcast, they talked about Tiger Woods at age 47, I think, and his continuing success, and Poppy, who was so upset, cracked, well, you know, he's still, you know, in his prime, or something like that. So this seems to be people making a lot out of this, because I would rather, you know, talk about fitness for office rather than what Don Lemon said, or whether he gets taken, you know, a day off or whatever. For the record, I think y'all want to hear me bash Democrats? I mean, Republicans, for a change.
Yes, let's hear that. Oh my God, it's a brand new day.
Listen. Okay, yeah, pull it out, Jay, because you are about, get the poppers, because you are about to nut the house down. So this is such a snake that, I mean, she is everything that I can't stand. She was a governor of South Carolina. I guess the one good thing about her is that she had them take down a Confederate flag in South Carolina. I think it was in the Capitol. You know, so that is like the nice side of her, but she's such a hawk that she put on her website today, a hawk meaning you love war and you want a strong, you know, she put on her website an article that said, you know, something, I'm looking for the exact quote, about what a hawk she is. I'm like, are you really, like, you know, bragging about this? She wants to, this is from an NBC article, Haley opposes abortion rights, explaining that her opposition is rooted in her past difficulty conceiving children, as well as the fact that her husband is adopted. Okay, babe, that's your personal and your husband's personal situation.
Right.
The fact is, a lot of women want to be able to have the safety net of undoing a pregnancy that has happened by mistake or by rape. So she's going to come up here saying...
or not, and that's fine too.
Yeah, right, right. And then she's on taxes. The first thing we want to do is eliminate the corporate income tax. I mean, go at, to, you know, so now the Republican argument is that if we make it easy on corporations and give them incentives like cutting their taxes, they will flourish and create jobs. No, the CEOs will flourish. And, right. You know, she also, now that she's announced her candidacy, and there's this big debate over Social Security and who wants to cut it, and, you know, blah, 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 because a couple of Republicans have said, Rick Scott, he wants to sundown the very popular Social Security that we pay into and that's going to be there at the end of our lives if we're unable to work in our, you know, dotage, which is coming right around the corner for me. Jay doesn't like it when I say this, but some Democrats in leadership have also discussed cutting Social Security. But it is, we're having this argument. And so when she announces her candidacy, a 2010 interview in which she says that we need to cut, the Republicans call it entitlements. They don't ever want to call it Social Security. They call it entitlements. Mitt Romney was busted for this when he ran against Obama, and some waiter filmed him through a tree at a fundraising dinner with Republicans, and he was saying we need to get rid of entitlements, which basically is everything from Social Security to Medicare up to poor people's insurance, old people's insurance where they get a break on it, veterans, pensions. I mean, it's basically everything that the government, I don't think we talk about politics in terms of I'm a lefty, I want to raise taxes on the wealthy. She wants to cut taxes on the corporations, and she wants to, cut entitlements, a.k.a. Social Security. So she said that in 2010, and now that there's this big debate about it in Congress, she's getting some flack for that. But here is what is so dangerous about her. So she is... she's a staunch supporter of Israel. She is very polished. She is so polished and calm. You know, sometimes she's said to be on Trump's side. Sometimes she's not. She'll waffle on anything. Like a typical politician, she'll put her finger, wet her finger, stick it up into the air, see which way the wind is blowing. But she is very, very polished. And on her website, this article that she posted about her being a hawk said something about how she is perceived to have a softer and more listenable to, here it is. Haley has gained a reputation in the Republican Party for her ability to address issues of gender and race in a more credible fashion than many of her peers. Issues of gender, like the abortion rights that women want, what issues of race is she can address them with double speak, but she is not out for women or anyone that relies on entitlements, who, you know, are plenty of white people, but also plenty of people of color who do rely on welfare or Social Security or, you know, stuff like that. So, you know, and so here's what really eats me up, people. So we've sat around saying, representation and inclusivity and diversity matters. Of course it matters. You don't want to look at a room full of white men, whether they're old white men or young white men or whatever. And you don't want to look at that because that implies that there is no diversity. But a lot of times we're being sold people like Kamala Harris just because she is a person of color. And, you know, she's not doing great in the polls. I mean, she started off on a bad foot. I mean, there is talk of how, you know, if Biden doesn't run, how we can get away, Democrats can get away from running her, because even though she is in the lead, she's not doing that well. She didn't, in the 2020, she didn't win one primary vote. I mean, Tulsi Gabbard won a primary vote. And her speaking style is so It's like, I mean, why did she start giggling? I mean, she I don't know. There's even talk that Biden gave her hard tasks like immigration, you know, because whatever reason. I don't know. But we've been sitting around on the left saying that inclusivity is everything. No. If you represent what you look like, inclusivity is everything. Does Nikki Haley represent what she looked like? I saw her ad the first thing when it came out, and she was talking about, yes, we experienced racism. My parents are Indian, and, you know, we had a clothing store, you know, and we were able to work our way up. Well, you're not interested in helping people who want to work their way up.
Yeah,
you want to
policies,
cut off
yeah.
their services. And you're not interested in women who get paid lower wages because you a simp for the corporations who don't want to pay anyone higher wages. So this is a dangerous person. And because the left has sat and said, any woman of color is great, what if people get confused and say, oh, well, Nikki Haley is a woman of color? This is such a dangerous, slick person who has got so much media training that she... fuck whether she supported Trump with the insurrection or whether she could. She would go and be Trump's running mate or DeSantis's or, you know, or run on her own. This is a, I'm sorry to be so, I mean, you know, she is the worst of the classic Republican Party.
I think they're all, but the problem is though that they're all horrible. I mean, the three that who are running between DeSantis, who is smart evil, Donald Trump, who is stupid evil, and Nikki Haley, who is a mixture of both. It's like, what do you choose? Like Donald Trump, did you see that thing? One of the people close to his campaign talking about, oh, if he comes back, he wants to, he's advocating for lynchings, firing squads, group deaths. Did you see this?
No.
Oh, it's crazy what he wants to make happen if he gets the gets the presidency again.
Right.
It's like literally like on some Handmaid's Tale. I know we all joke about like literally like hangings, group death by firing squads. Like it's crazy.
Yeah, who does he want to die by firing squads?
He's saying for like criminals or like people who have done like really egregious crimes. But so that doesn't like no, that's not going to work.
Yeah, well, that's a right wing position. You know, now I have criticized Haley years ago, and people jumped down my throat. And you know, it turns out, Jay, you're going to really come twice. I was a little mistaken, but, you know, listen, I don't think any of us here on this podcast are going to pretend that Republicans are the party of people of color. I don't think that we're going to say that. But Nikki, you know, by virtue of being a woman of color, you know, I think that it's going to help her to deceive people. And you know, Oh, see, this is the other thing that I just want to say. I don't follow Trump much, but I did see a snippet of his speech months ago, and he mentioned his work to get the vaccine, Operation Warp Speed or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
So then 3 months later, I caught another snippet of his speech, and he said, I know you don't like... Oh, no, he was booed by his followers when he mentioned the vaccine the first time.
Mm.
3 months later, he said, I know you don't want to hear about it, but I did help with the vaccine or whatever, and they all laughed. He is a showman. Whether we hate him or not, he is an orator. He's not up there stumbling, you know, for his words. It may be a demented, you know, charm or charisma, but when you do that, you say, I care about what my followers think. They don't want me talking about the vaccine. Well, I'm still going to mention it, but I'm going to also mention that they didn't like it before. So he is a trickster. Don't count him out, you know?
Yeah, it's just, sorry, I just found the article. It was in Rolling Stone, and it's what it says. That's a question Donald Trump repeatedly... Oh, what do you think of firing squads? That's a question Donald Trump repeatedly asked some of his close associates in the run-up to the 2024 presidential campaign. Three people familiar with the situation tell Rolling Stone, the former president, if reelected, is still committed to expanding the use of the federal death penalty and bringing back banned methods of execution, the sources say. He is even, one of the sources recounts, amused about televising footage of executions, including showing condemned prisoners in the final moments of their lives. Trump has talked about bringing back death by firing squad, by hanging, and according to two of the sources, possibly even the guillotine.
Oh, my God, that's nuts.
Okay. That is really, really crazy. But, I don't want to say there's no way that can happen, because I feel like we've eaten our words on that in the past, but that is legally that can't happen.
Well, I mean, in 2020, Trump said he was going to cure AIDS and Biden said he was going to cure cancer. I mean, people say all kinds of stuff that they don't, you know, follow up on, but I'm serious. I think that this Nikki Haley is very, very dangerous. You know, a few years ago, I said, and this is what I was trying to say, that I was a little bit wrong. I was like, what's going on here? Governor of South Carolina, a woman of color, but could pass for a tan, you know, white woman, very polished looking, very polished speaker, never gets rattled, and I realized that she had changed her name for some very, very long Indian name to, Nikki. And then also she doesn't have an Indian name because she married a guy whose last name was Haley, which I did not know at the time. But, it did seem to me, I'm scared of her, that she had changed her name to be more palatable to Southern Republican voters who, you know, like I say, are not the cheerleaders of people of color and their rights. But I think that, you know, she may be able to use this to, I mean, basically her story is the same as Obama. My parents were immigrants. There was racism, you know, da 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 da. But she's saying this from the party that's most associated with racism.
Yeah.
So, another thing I just want to mention here about the Don Lemon aspect, because I think this is much more about Nikki Haley and test mental competency tests than it is. But they want to get everybody up in here. For Don Lemon to say that she's past her prime when he's said many nice things about Hillary, who was 69 when she ran, Elizabeth Warren, 71 years when she ran. Kamala Harris doesn't look it, but she's 58 years old. So, I mean, those women weren't past their prime,
Yeah, well, and I was going to say, Don Lemon did apologize. Don Lemon said, the reference I made to a woman's prime this morning was inartful and irrelevant, as colleagues and loved ones have pointed out, and I regret it. A woman's age doesn't define her either personally or professionally. I have countless women in my life who prove that every day, to your point, Bunny, to which the another spawn of Satan, Nikki Haley, commented on that. To be clear, I am not, well, she retweeted his, quote tweeted and saying, to be clear, I'm not calling for the competency tests for sexist middle-aged CNN anchors, only for people who make our laws and are 75 plus.
Which is kind of a good comeback. Like I say, this woman, I don't know if she's writing this stuff, but she is tough as nails. She was Trump's ambassador to the UN, the United Nations. And she's to put this article on her website Foreign policy hawk Nikki Haley throws hat in ring for 2024. I've never heard of a politician who wants to be known as a hawk. I've never heard of that.
Right. I don't mind being called as a hawk.
Well, there may be some of that in your 23andMe. a chicken hawk.
Yeah, chicken hawk. Well, Bunny, I think we've talked about the headlines, girl.
Well, I certainly won't attempt an Aussie accent to send you on your way.
Oh, God. Crikey. Lord.
Anyway, well, good. Safe travels. I hope that you don't have any of the misfortune on flights that I often have omens about for Bianca Del Rio. And premonitions. I hope that you don't do any duck walking over there, because
I know
Naomi gonna be on your case.
Girl, I know. I'm scared, bitch. Every time I'm swatting the fly, I'm nervous. I'm gonna get a red for trying to hand performance.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, you have a good rest of your week, girl, and I will talk to you very soon.
Okay.
A podcast network.
Star Bands Audio. A podcast.
A podcast network.